All right, lawyer talk off the record, on the air. You know, we've covered a little bit of the Tyler Robinson prosecution, Utah versus, or the state of Utah versus Tyler Robinson, the guy accused of killing Charlie Kirk. We've covered this off and on. I plan to do a lot more as the case progresses. But something interesting happened last week. The case, in order to understand what this is, well, we'll get to the decision. What is being published is that the judge, Judge Graf, G-R-A-F, has denied the defense request to get Twiggs, who is the roommate of Tyler Robinson, to come in and testify in court. And the judge says, no, we're not going to let you enforce this out-of-state subpoena and make him come into court. You know, and there's a couple, when I first read that headline, I was like, what the heck is going on? What's really happening? Because it sort of sounds like, well, they're not going to make him show up in person. Maybe let him testify by Zoom. Believe it or not, we do a lot of remote testimony now by Zoom. In fact, I've got that happening in a case I'm working on right now. It's an expert witness. He's going to be testifying out of state. Saves us a ton of money to fly that person in when we can just do the testimony by Zoom. I rarely say that anything good came from COVID and all the insanity and restrictions that were imposed. But one good thing happened. Most courtrooms now got equipped to do remote testimony and access. It makes our jobs a lot easier sometimes. So that was my first thought. And then I thought, well, what's the hearing even about? And that's what got me digging into it, because then I thought, I gots to know. So what I did, I looked up what's going on, and I think it's worthy enough to discuss here. This is not a trial. So we're not talking about whether Twiggs can be forced to come in and testify at trial. Clearly, this decision says nothing about that. In fact, I would be shocked if the judge issued a decision that Twiggs did not have to testify in person at the trial, or even if it's by, I might even be a little surprised if they let Twiggs testify by Zoom. But that's not what's going on here. This is something called a preliminary hearing. All right, let me break this down. So a preliminary hearing is really a very early stage of a case where the government, in many jurisdictions, in federal court and most state courts, have some version of this. The government has to present enough evidence to establish, quote, probable cause to continue with the prosecution, where it is, if they make that burden, if they meet that burden, then the case is bound over and the person can be held for trial in the court that's going to have the general jurisdiction over it. States do this differently. So If you hear this and you're thinking, well, that's not how it happens, that's all, you're all wrong, you're full of crap. And I get a lot of comments like that, and maybe sometimes I am, I don't know. But it may be different in your state than it is there, and it's certainly different in Ohio. In Ohio, we have very few preliminary hearings. In Michigan, I have a legal partner up there that we do some consulting. They have preliminary examinations all the time, and they're really a significant part of the case, where the cases are presented to a judge. The judge then binds it over, finds probable cause, and binds it over. The good, the bad, and the ugly. In Ohio, what happens is the prosecutor simply just, well, we're going to indict the case to a grand jury, and they're going to give us our probable cause finding. And you would ask, what's the difference? Well, here's the difference. An indictment's a secret proceeding. I don't have any right to be in the grand jury proceedings where the prosecutor's presenting evidence, and my client doesn't have a right. Sometimes my client is invited. That happens every now and then in maybe a self-defense case. You let your client go, and every now and then might even not be less than every now and then. You let your client go testify in front of a grand jury without you being in the room, and maybe make their case for self-defense to see if the grand jury is going to indict. I think we did a whole other episode. Go look it up on grand juries in the history of the old saying is you can indict a ham sandwich because it's not hard to get an indictment. But the point of what I'm saying now is that it's a secret proceeding, and it's better for the prosecutor. Now, a preliminary hearing, on the other hand, is in open court. Defense lawyers are present. The prosecutor presents evidence, calls witnesses, and that gives the defense discovery, or at least an early bite at the prosecutor's case. We get to hear what they're going to say. I get to look at a witness and evaluate how that witness is going to testify later on, should he or she have to do it or testify at trial. I get the whites of the eyes experience. I get to ask questions on cross-examination. I get to find out information in a setting where a jury's not there to hear it. So I can get a little bit lax with what I'll ask. Lax isn't the right word. The purpose of cross-examination might be geared to finding out more information rather than simply impeaching or discrediting the witness. So it's an opportunity for the defense. That's why here in Ohio, prosecutors try to avoid it. But they can't always avoid it, and here's why. Grand juries, not some of the smaller counties don't always have grand juries, meaning they don't, like the bigger counties or Franklin County here in Columbus, almost always there's a grand jury that's convened and waiting for cases to get presented. So if a prosecutor's got a case, it's a murder case, they need to get an indictment quickly, they've got a grand jury like that. Others, though, like there's an old John Wayne movie where he's Rooster Cogburn. The second movie or the sequel is Rooster Cogburn. True Grit. There's like one of the first scenes. John Wayne has brought his he's a bounty hunter, I think, and he brought in this guy for justice. And they're conducting, I think, in that movie, in the very first scene of that movie, a preliminary hearing. And you know, they put Duke on the stand and he admits to getting a little squirrely with the guy and maybe a little bit too heavy handed. But at any rate, the judge dismisses the case and says, no, it's not a jury there. It's nothing is there. Or there's no fact finding or guilt or innocence rather. But the judge, I think, is basically saying, look, I don't have probable cause here. Maybe it was self-defense. Maybe it wasn't. But the point is there wasn't a grand jury right there. And that was, I think that was a preliminary hearing. And if they would have bound the case over, the guy would have been held later for trial. Now, that mattered back then because as soon as in the Old West, you would let a suspect go and not bind him over, or if you didn't bind a suspect over or find probable cause, he could just go on the run. You're never going to get him again. And that's why those preliminary hearings were sort of important. If there's not a grand jury there, you want to get at least something to hold the guy until you do get a grand jury convened. And that's why I think some of the history of that has occurred. At any rate, I might be wrong. Check me if I'm wrong. I don't care. In the Charlie Kirk case, though, in the Robinson case, that's what they're doing. They're doing a preliminary hearing. And the issue here is whether the defense has a right to have Twiggs come in and testify in person vis-a-vis. Instead, the prosecutor wants simply to present as evidence Twiggs' recorded statement. All right, here's what the difference is. The prosecutor gets to simply hit play on the recorded statement and say, here, judge, as you're figuring out probable cause, as you're figuring out whether there's just enough evidence to hold Robinson and charge him with murder, we're just going to play Twiggs' statement. The defense is shouting from its chair, wait a minute, that means I don't get to confront Twiggs. I don't get to cross-examine him. We're going to subpoena Twiggs to come in and testify on our behalf. And the judge is saying, no, we're not going to enforce an out-of-court subpoena. You, defense, have not told me why you believe that Twiggs' state or Twiggs' personal testimony in person would change or bear on probable cause. You're just trying to get discovery. I'm adding that second part because I haven't been able to read the decision yet. But I think that's the gist of it. The judge is saying, look, you're not giving me a good reason why Twiggs has to be here in person. Generally speaking, the rules of evidence do not typically apply like this in preliminary hearings. Ohio is a little bit different, but in other words, hearsay rules don't typically apply. And so Twiggs' recorded statement, which otherwise would be hearsay, doesn't really apply. And apparently out there, there's no confrontation right at preliminary hearings. And the judge is saying, this is good enough for me. You'll get to cross-examine him at trial where it really counts. So that's what that decision is. And by the way, because we're still at the preliminary hearing stage, Robinson hasn't even entered a plea of guilty or not guilty yet. Right now, it's just preliminary hearing. If he's bound over and he's indicted and he's later charged, then he would enter a formal not guilty plea in the sense that we would understand that to be. And then the case will proceed to trial. I would be absolutely gobsmacked, for lack of a better way to put it, if the case is not bound over, and if the situation is that Twiggs somehow does not have to appear and testify live at the trial, assuming the prosecutor wants to use his statements, Twiggs' statements, that is, I think the prosecutor is going to have Twiggs at trial. And I think Robinson has an absolute right to cross-examine Twiggs. He's a key witness against him. And under the Sixth Amendment and whatever amendment or provision under the Utah Constitution, it's probably the same. you have a right to cross-examine your accuser. So look, if you got a question about this, send it to me in the socials, leave a comment, or go to lawyertalkpodcast.com. I'm going to continue to follow this because I think there's interesting stuff happening, and you know, we'll watch carefully as the case goes to trial. By the way, we're sponsored by Circle 270 Media. Phenomenal. If you've got a podcast that you want, if you're in the Central Ohio area, even nationally, great podcast consultant, check out Circle 270 Media. Brett over there will take care of you.